Welcome, everybody, from this extended break of the Mets News Podcast. It's been a few weeks since I've been on. A lot has changed. The New York Giants continue to thrive. The Mets and DeGrom are going through their struggles. And we will end, of course, the podcast on a sad note because Jerry Lee Lewis passed away. So we're going to have a little tribute for him. The two episodes I did about him will follow this. But, of course, so let's get on to the New York Giants. It really was. It's a fascinating thing what's going on with the New York Giants, folks. I really don't know how else to put it other than no one expected this to happen. I really don't think. I know sometimes I say some stuff here where everyone's like, oh, well, we expected it. We expected that. I listen to the feedback that the listeners give me, and I love it. So keep giving me feedback on the Instagram, @_Mets_News. The Twitter's really not taking off. I'm more of an Instagram guy anyway. But follow the Twitter, @MetsNews6. I'll be posting more on there. The New York Giants, to me, are fascinating. No one thought they were going to be as good as they are. So the fact of the matter is, them being so good is just like, well, no one expected this. I mean, like, come on. Like, we didn't expect it. I mean, they're winning games they shouldn't have won. They've won the Green Bay game. Green Bay beat Dallas yesterday, so maybe Green Bay's finally found it. The Baltimore game, to me, is their best win of the year. They were down by 10 points with really no time left in the fourth quarter, and I know that people are saying Thibodeau is a bust, and that's who the Giants drafted, but Thibodeau won that game for us with that strip sack and the interception by Love. Julian Love has to come back. Darius Slayton looks better. You know, it really is shocking what coaching, the difference of what coaching can do. I mean, to me, it's like no one expected the Giants to do this. And I'm going to keep saying it because eventually the draft expert is coming back on. I have an idea that I haven't really floated to him yet or Coach Weber. And, of course, Justin will come on too during the season. I got my guests lined up, but I do have an idea that I have to text them. And I think they're going to do it, but I don't know. But maybe Coach, I know Coach Weber listens to this sometimes. So if he does, all right, Coach, here's my idea. And then we'll get back to the show and my 10,000 or 8,000 listeners, probably not going to be 10 this week, but my 8,000 listeners are going to have to hear it. I'm thinking about doing a virtual tailgate next week to preview the New York Giants and Dallas Cowboy game, because I remember many years ago, and I do this at least for one of the Eagles games. I've been able to do this because the draft expert loves coming on, and I have a funny story about him, which I'll get to after I propose this idea. If you remember many years ago when the pandemic was at its worst, we were still all virtually doing things. I texted them, and I was like, or I texted Coach Weber, and I was like, Coach, I have this idea. I think this will be a ratings boost. This will be a ratings hit. Let's, before the Thursday night football game between the Giants and Eagles, let's have the Dallas Cowboy fam. And then, you know, the draft expert will be the Eagles fam. He said, okay, if you can get Coach Galusi to do it, then I'll do it. And it was able, and it's been a huge success. And before, I always say this, before I got the bigger guests to come on, that was my most listened to episode after the Coach Weber interview. People just love it. So I'm going to offer the idea to them, and we're going to see what happens. But anyway, no one expected. Really, the only game where I'm like, I walked away with a sour taste in my mouth was the Dallas Cowboy game. I expected them to lose in Seattle. I didn't expect it. I was upset about Richie James muffing things up, but you can't tell me you expected this. I mean, they're off to their best start since 2008, and we all know what happened in 2008. They should have went farther than they did, and Plexico Burress shot himself in the foot. I remember that season. That's the first Giants season I remember fully. Like, I remember 2007. I remember the playoff run. I remember watching the game at my grandparents' house, and my grandfather, who passed away, was a huge Giant fan. And that's the reason why I'm a Giants fan. And he was just like, you know, I remember I was probably like 5 years old, maybe four. Probably still four at the time. Could have been five. I don't remember. He was like, you know, Ben, the Giants are not going to win this game. But it's just great that they were here. And when they won, I've never seen my grandfather as happy. Because, again, our sports teams have stunk. I mean, he was a Mets fan, too. So, you know, we never really got to see many Mets happiness moments. But I've never seen him so happy in the context of sports. But anyway, this is fun. This is fun. No one expected it. Daniel Jones, and I said this in the preseason look at the Giants, would have to literally win 10 to 11 games for me to come back, not throw interceptions. Saquon Barkley, I thought, was going to be traded. Boy, do I look stupid saying you should have traded Saquon Barkley for a third-round pick. Both those guys are coming back. And I've always been, I think if you look at my podcasting history, I've always been more fair on Daniel Jones. I've never hated Daniel Jones. I remember the day he got picked, I think I went into the draft expert's room at school, and I was like, I don't really know that much about Daniel Jones. And he said, well, I projected him to go in the third round, but he has the tools, he said this, to be a first-round pick. But he just hasn't been able to put it together. He's coming from a school like Duke, and we don't really know what he's going to be. And that's really what he said. We don't know. And I kind of like became a Daniel Jones backer in 2019. I did. Then in 2020, I was like, this offense stinks, but Daniel Jones is showing improvement. And then last year, I fell off after that Tampa Bay game. I soured on him. And I was ready to move on. I'll be honest, I was ready to move on. I never openly rooted for my teams to tank. And I said this on the, go back to the, when I had both them on, funny enough, the draft expert and Coach Weber. And when I talked to Justin, I said, I openly don't want these teams to tank. I just can't do it. The coach in me cannot watch my teams lose on purpose. Other coaches can do that. But again, it was drilled into me by, funny enough, Coach Weber. And then we'll stop bringing him up. Because I know my listeners are like, can you get to your point? But this broads into my bigger story. I was taught by all my coaches, whether it was Legion before I took over, whether it was high school, You don't choke. You don't tank things away. So I'm automatically built like that. I never liked it when the Mets did it. I understood it. I never liked it. So Coach Daboll has been a great coach. The Tennessee game I loved. That's when I fell in love with him. I fell in love with him during the Tennessee game. I think all Giants fans have. He's big. He's kind of heavier. Like, you know, he looks like a normal dude, which is something that, you know, Coach Judge, he would talk the big game, but he would never deliver. I mean, that's something that I'll say to this day. He talked a big game, he never delivered the big game. Well, Coach Daboll, I've seen him deliver big games. The Green Bay game's my favorite game of the year. Just being down by 17, looking lifeless, and then coming back and winning that game, that's my favorite game of the year. But we'll see. I mean, the Giants are going to make the playoffs. I'll be at the Giants-Lions game next week. I'll be talking to Justin. Can't wait to see him. First time ever I get to meet Justin at his tailgate. So stop by. I think it's in parking lot L. So stop by. It's on the Talking Giants Twitter. I'm excited. I'm going to see the Giants get their... This will be the first season since 2016 they don't finish with 10 losses. Think about that. The first time since 2016, the New York Football Giants will not have 10 losses. It's great. There's nothing else I can say. And we'll see. I mean, they got to go 2-2 in these divisional games after that. I would love for them to beat Dallas. I'll be at a football party. Not a Thanksgiving party, but football is always on. And it's going to be the first time really in a long time where I'm going to be more focused on the Giants than everything else, which is fine. I don't really do that much at that party anyway. But I'm going to be watching the Giants. I'm going to find a way to watch it. If I have to leave the party, because the game's at 4? It's a 4 o'clock game, so I'm going to find a way to watch the Giants. I love the Giants. I like to watch the Giants alone. Like, the next 2 weeks are going to be interesting because I like to watch the New York Giants. I turn my phone off. I put on a live stream of them if the game's not on, because up in State College, it's been on a little bit. And I watch. I don't bother anybody. I don't text. I might text in a group, a couple group chats I'm in. I'm in three group chats. I'm in one with the draft expert and Coach Weber. I'm in another one with the couple other people I know. Gabe's in one of them. And then I'm in just a strictly New York Giants, New York Met football chat. And we're texting, and I'll text in that chat. But it's just like, can I talk about something, though, yesterday? Before we get to the Mets and DeGrom, and then we'll move on to everything else. Oh, my God. Kenny Gowdy, get off my team. You stink. He stinks. The guy drops two passes he should have caught. I'm mad at Kenny Gowdy because that last pass I could have caught, Daniel Jones led him perfectly, and he just dropped it. And it would have been a 20-yard gainer, and the Giants would have put up more points. Instead, they have to punt. I understand the game was comfortable in the fourth quarter. The Giants were clearly going to win after they Darius Slayton showed off his speed and reminded me of why in 2019 I was like, he could be a number two wide receiver for us or for them. But oh my goodness, what are you doing? Oh my, I just can't take it anymore. Kenny Galladay, go away, leave, be benched. I was trying to hype myself up about you, but I don't like Kenny Galladay. I really don't like Kenny Galladay. On to the Mets, and then we'll end this episode, or end this part of the episode. I guess Jacob DeGrom is leaving. I really do. I never thought that day would come where it'd be like, oh, Jacob DeGrom, he's leaving. But it sounds like it. I don't want to be right on that, but it sounds like it. And the Mets picked up the option on Carrasco. Bassett's gone, which is fine. Bassett, go away. I don't like you. Your comments really turned me off. I said that in my Mets season is over thing. But I guess Jacob DeGrom is gone, which is shocking. No one thought Jacob DeGrom would be gone. But I don't think he wants to come back. I don't think the Mets want to offer him more than $47 million. I don't think he wants to come back. I think he wants a four-year deal. I would not give Jacob DeGrom a four-year deal. I understand, and I love Evan. Evan's my favorite. Had Evan on. I love what Evan says. Give him the fourth year. We don't want to have another Tom Seaver incident. No, I don't want to give him the fourth year. I guess we disagree on that, which is fine. I don't think he wants to be here anyway. I used to be the guy, don't believe the media. I don't believe this, don't believe that. I don't think Jake wants to be here anymore, which is kind of weird because the Mets have new ownership and the organization has been improving and improving. Maybe he wants to go close to home. I can live with that. As long as the Mets don't get outbid with money, I can live with it. I can live with getting outbid with years. And I can even get Jake just saying, listen, I don't want to play here anymore. I want to go home. I can live with that. What I cannot live with is the Mets getting outbid with money. This guy means more to the organization than words can say. You have a $1 billion owner. You $11 billion owner, if my math's correct. Could be off by a couple billion. It's not my billion. I'm happy Steve Cohen spends it on my team. It's not my billion. But, Nope. You got to just pay him. And that's all I got to say. We'll see what the Mets do. They picked up Carrasco and Vogelbach's option. And it's going to be an interesting offseason. Diaz re-signed. Good, fine, go. Thank you, Steve Cohen, for letting Diaz finally resign. Don't even put any hesitivity on it. No hesitation. There we go. No hesitation. Just resign him. Go ahead. Do it. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. All right. This has been an edition of the Mets News Podcast. I'll be on the weekly podcast are coming back. I'll be on to talk if DeGrom signs. I'll be on if there's any breaking news. We're going to have the guest return. Looking forward to it. And now let's get on to the Jerry Lee Lewis life story. And then at the end of the episode, I never do this, I'm going to come back on to, unfortunately, pay a little tribute to Jerry Lee Lewis right at the end of the episode. But listen to part one and two. And thanks for listening, guys. Stay safe. Welcome, everybody, to the Mets News Podcast, where we talk all things Mets and anything I feel like talking about. Now, before we get into this week's episode, I would like to personally thank all my subscribers and viewers for making my last episode, Mets Owners Not Selling the Team, my highest rated episode ever on Anchor and other platforms. By combined total, I had over
100 views on my last podcast with all the platforms combined. So I'd really like to thank everybody. I'm happy that this podcast personally is taking off. It means the world to me. And I got a big announcement coming up. I can't tell you the details yet, but I have a very big announcement that's going to make everyone else. As many of you know, I am on Spotify. This next platform I'll be joining in the coming months or weeks is going to be very big for this podcast. And I can't believe this. This podcast is really just for fun. And it really is taking off. And I really cannot thank you guys enough for the support and everything. So hopefully 100 views is just a start. We'll get to 1,000 views, 500 views, 200 views. You know, every week I'm getting new listeners from different countries, from different states, everywhere. So this really means a lot to me that everyone's enjoying the content I'm producing on Anchor, my beautiful my podcast platform. And the platform I'm going to be joining in the coming months or weeks is an even bigger platform. So I can't wait to announce that when that date comes. Now, moving into this week's episode. Oh, one more announcement. I will be down in Fort St. Lucie next Saturday through Monday, and I will try to get Mets players on the podcast. Monday, I will be in West Palm Beach before flying back to where I live, and I'm going to try to get some other players out there. I don't think it's going to be the Astros. I don't think I'm going to be able to get anybody on there. But I don't think I'm going to be getting anybody on there. Not from the Astros, Mets, Cardinals, or Washington Nationals. But I'm going to try my best. Maybe I'll be able to get DeGrom on there. That's what I'm shooting for. But if I can get anybody on the podcast, to me, that's just, you know, great. But we'll see what happens there. Now getting into this week's episode. We're not going to be talking any sports because, you know, spring training, a little bit of a week away. Football's over. I am going to do an XFL podcast. This coming Monday, it'll be released. By the way, this coming Wednesday, but I'm going to watch some XFL. I'm going to give you my opinion on it. I'm very excited to watch it. It intrigues me. The XFL, believe it or not, intrigues me, but I'm going to get into it this coming Monday when the episode is released. So you're getting two podcasts in the same weekend because I'm recording this on Thursday, the 13th, and this is going to be, of course, released on Valentine's Day, Friday, the 14th. By the way, happy birthday to my brother. My brother's birthday and my grandfather's birthday is tomorrow. My grandfather passed away. And my great-grandfather's birthday is tomorrow. So happy birthday to all of them. I love them very much. So that's really it. Now, this week's episode is on Jerry Lee Lewis. Now, you're probably all wondering, who's Jerry Lee Lewis? Well, let me tell you, Jerry Lee Lewis is one of the great rock and roll singers. He is the founder of rock and roll. He is rock and roll's first wild man. He is also one of the greatest country singers of all time, mixed in with a little soul and gospel in between. So listen, we're going to get into the bad stuff for Jerry Lee Lewis. We're going to get into the hits. This episode could be 20 minutes. It could be an hour, you know. I'm really excited to dive into this. I'm really excited to dive into this guy. Jerry Lee Lewis is one of my favorite singers of all time, with hits like Great Balls of Fire, Whole Lot of Shaking Going On, High School Confidential. I mean, the list goes on. Good Golly, Miss Molly, What I Say, In the Country. There's more rock and roll hits. In the country section, there's 39 and Holden, Another Place, Another Time, What Made Me Milwaukee Famous, Me and Bobby McGee, Middle Age Crazy, Jack Daniel's Old Number 7. I mean, there are, and in the country, in the gospel section, and I will add to you, here's the thing, I'm not really into gospel music. I'm not really a gospel type of guy, but there's songs like My God Is Real, which is really big for him, Waiting for a Train. He's really big in the gospel section, so there might not be a lot of gospel in this episode. We're going to mostly focus on his early life, his country, and we're even going to get into the scandals that he's had. But, you know, let's just start from the beginning. Jerry Lee Lewis was born September 29th, 1935 in Mississippi. He's from a dirt poor family. He had nothing. His father and mother mortgaged their one like bedroom house with no bathroom, by the way. They had to go out in the outhouse to use the bathroom. And even back, you know, he grew up, Jerry Lee Lewis, in the Great Depression, the end of the Great Depression, and during all the big wars. So really, I mean, this guy grew up in the dirt poor South, and he didn't really have a good life. He didn't really go to school. He actually got suspended from school at age 12, and he didn't have anything. I mean, you could also, I think you've also heard of his cousins, Mickey Gilley and Jimmy Lee, Jack Swagger. They all grew up together on the same street. And here's a funny story about Jerry Lewis, because I've done a lot of research on him. I've watched his movie, Great Balls of Fire, which, by the way, is not a very good movie. It's, you know, I don't like the movie personally. I hope when Jerry Lewis, this is going to sound awful, dies, or they could do it now, they come out with a better movie, because I've read his book, Jerry Lewis, My Life Story, which was a very good book. It came out a few years ago. I recommend it. In my opinion, I think it came out in 2014. It's one of my favorite books of all time that I've ever read. I enjoyed every minute of it. I actually went to go see Jerry Lewis. I think it was back in 2017. I went to go see him at the BB King Bar and Grill, and you know, for an 80 year old at the time, he really could still go. He really could, and you know, I'll get into that later. But anyway. Jerry Lewis's early life was awful. Actually, when the floods would happen in Mississippi, like, the snakes would go into it and stuff, because he lived out near a lake in Mississippi, and he lived near a cornfield. His father, Elmo Lewis, was a, you know, he was in and out of prison. He really set a bad example for Jerry Lewis. His mother died when Jerry Lee was in his early 20s, I think. So, I mean, this guy came from really nothing, but he had a God-given talent, to quote him, of playing the piano. One day, when he was 5 years old at his cousin's house, funny enough, he was playing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. It was Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And his mother heard him and said, by golly, this kid has talent, and he's going to pull us out of the shithole we're in. That was a quote from the book. So obviously, they booked everything they had into buying him a grand piano, which Jerry Lewis still owns to this day. By the way, he is still alive. The last one standing from the original Sun Records group of Johnny Cash, Ray Ormanson, and Elvis Presley, which, by the way, they're all very good members in their own right. But the thing that really just stands Jerry Lewis out, which we will get into. So he began performing at age 9 or 10. He dropped out of school, got suspended from school at age 13, funny enough. But he didn't really go to school. But, you know, he'd play at bars. He'd play at strip joints. He'd play anywhere he could. Yeah, this is actually a funny story. Jerry Lewis was so thin that they would put all the rich people at these clubs would put all the watches around him. And one day they actually got busted. One of the strip joints he played in, I'm going to quote the book, I was playing, and they busted, and I was behind the stage, and they saw me playing, and I had a ton of gold watches around me and everything, and I almost went to jail that night. He also played the drum sometimes. So think about this. Jerry Lee Lewis would play the piano and somehow keep a drum beat, too, because they didn't have enough money for a band, and you know, the saying in the Jerry Lewis household was, it's not if Jerry's going to get a hit, it's when Jerry Lee Lewis is going to get a hit. So when he was 18 years old, he was at a salon one day, and he was reading a magazine article saying, Sam Phillips made Elvis Presley a star. And at this point, they're going all around trying to get into a record company. They went to Nashville, they went everywhere you could back then to get into a record. And they all turned him down saying, you know, you're a really good piano player, but if when you learn how to play guitar, you can come back. Which, by the way, Jerry Lewis learned how to play guitar, but, you know, piano was his first love. He wanted to show everyone you can be a rock and roll star on your first love. So he went to Sun Records, and Sam Phillips was on vacation in Florida. And he said, I'm not leaving until I get, excuse my voice, a session. Just to get him off the steps of Sun Records, they said, all right, you can play the piano and everything. And he played Crazy Arms, one of his first great country hits. And when Sam Phillips came back, he said, all right, we're just going to play you this one so he leaves our doorstep. They before it even got to the singing, Sam Phillips said, "I could sell that." And, you know, the rest is history for Jerry Lee Lewis. He became a huge megastar. They didn't want him in the beginning to play rock and roll songs, but in the early, I think it was 1956 when he signed. So they actually had this great record called the Million Dollar Quartet. The only time in history where you had Jerry Lee Lewis, Elvis Presley, Ray Orbison, Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, all together in the same room, and they bashed out hit after hit after hit. There actually is a play called The Million Dollar Quartet, a play I'm going to go see this summer when it comes to New York. I'm going to take the drive out to New York, and I'm going to watch it because it's just a great play, and I can't wait to see that. But anyway, back to Jerry Lee Lewis. He was playing at a club one night, and Johnny Cash and Carl Perkins went up to him and said, "Hey, you got to add a little more pizzazz to your performance." And he says, "Oh, I could do that." And he says, "Well, what?" He says, "Why don't you jump off, kick your stool away from the piano?" And he says, "All right, I'll do it." So it's after his final set. His boot got caught into it. So when he went to go kick the piano stool, at least this is what the book says, he kicked the piano stool and the boot went flying into the crowd and hit a lady in the first row. And I thought that was pretty funny. And the crowd really went wild, and they said, "That's the last time we ever give this kid advice," because that really put Jerry Lee Lewis really started to push him into superstardom. And then 1957, nothing was working. The country songs weren't really working. You know, they were getting hits, but you know, when you have someone like Elvis Presley at the new record label, because Elvis was sold by Sam Phillips in December to, I don't remember the record label's name. When I do an Elvis Presley episode, which I will be doing, I'll get the name for you, because Elvis's life is just as interesting as Jerry Lee Lewis's life. Jerry Lee said, "I heard this song after Christmas of 1957. I heard this song, I want to do it." There was a whole lot of shaking going on. And whole lot of shaking going on, it's funny. People credit Elvis with having the first real sex song. Jerry Lee Lewis's song, that song's basically about having sex in a barn. I mean, they just don't use the words we hear today. It's like, go listen to the song. I'm actually going to have, this will not be a sponsored episode by Anchor, at least I don't think, because at the end of it, I'm going to have songs by Jerry Lee Lewis. And, you know, this is just a fun episode. Or if I do decide to put this matcha there, just look him up. A whole lot of shaking going on. Great Balls of Fire. You'll hear what I mean. And that really became a hit. And he went on the Steve Allen Show and started to perform that. And really, the rest is history for him. His next big hit was Great Balls of Fire. And that really is Jerry Lee Lewis's biggest hit ever. That came out in 1958. Late 1957 as well, and that really was his biggest hit. I mean, even if you don't know who Jerry Lee Lewis is, you know the song Great Balls of Fire. That he is, by the way, rock and roll's first great wild man. And here's a funny story about Jerry Lee Lewis. In his early career, after Great Balls of Fire came out, him and Chuck Berry were saying, "Well, who wants to go on last?" And Chuck Berry says, "It's in my contract, I go on last." So Jerry Lee says, "Well, I have more hits than you right now." And then the manager said, "Well, he has 7 number one hits, and how many do you have?" And he says, "Well, I have 2. And then Jerry Lee said, "Well, who has the number one record right now?" And I guess after many hours of arguing about who's going to go on last, they finally just said, Jerry Lee said, "Fine, Cat, if that's the way you want it." Jerry Lee goes on after Great Balls of Fire, it's half gasoline, half Coca-Cola. He puts it in his piano, and the piano just gets engulfed in flames, and they had to get someone to put that out. But that's really it there. And then in 1958, May of 1958, he went to England. And this is where Jerry Lewis's first of many downfalls happens. He went with his 13-year-old married cousin, and the reporter asked, "Well, who are you?" And he says, "Well," Myra goes, "Well, I'm his wife." And everyone was shocked. And really, before we get into it, that's disgusting. They weren't actually first cousins. You know, they weren't really related. That's always been a rumor there that, hey, you know, they were related. No, they were never related. They were second cousins, twice removed. I'm not condoning it. I still think it's very disgusting. And Jerry Lee says, and then the report has, Mr. Lewis, is this your wife? And he says, well, sure it is. It's my wife. Because, you know, Jerry Lee's not that smart. He's from the South. He didn't go to school that much. And that really put his career in a downhill spiral. And it really took Jerry Lee Lewis 10 years to really get his footing back. And right when Jerry Lee Lewis was about to quit, because he was ostracized from all the radio. His last big hit was High School Confidential and Breathless. And that was taken off the air. Even after the signed apology that he did, it wasn't enough. And he really became late night comedy's first real punching bag, because everyone really took advantage of the fact that he married his cousin, which I'm not condoning. If that would have happened today, he would have went to jail. And you know what? It was a different time, and I'm not really going to get into that. But Elvis was in the military. This was Jerry Lee Lewis's time to really, you know, bring his own and take the crown away from Elvis, but he couldn't because of that scandal. And, you know, it really took Jerry Lee Lewis a long time to get back into it. I mean, it took him 10 years until he finally said, well, I know you don't want to do country, the guy said, but this is really your last hope. Just do this one country song, and if it doesn't work, you know, in his new record label, by the way, if it doesn't work, then fine, whatever. You can leave. And they went, fine, I'll do it. And they did it. It was another place, another time. It sounded beautiful. And the reason why I think, and I'll get in, I'll save this for the end. But after that, in 1969, nearly 10 years, it could have been 11 years after his comeback, that really started Jerry Lee Lewis's comeback. And by the way, before that, he lost his son in a pool accident, a strange pool accident, and that really fueled his fire to also come back to the top. All this guy did before that big hit was just go to places and drink a lot of Jack Daniels and whiskey and, you know, really almost killed himself. But Jerry Lee Lewis is like a cat. He has 9 lives. He used about 7 of them, but he still has them. So, after we hear from my beautiful sponsor, Anchor, we will get into part 2 of the Jerry Lee Lewis life story, at least a quick summary of the Jerry Lee Lewis life story. We will get into the country hits. We will get into the strange deaths surrounding his wives. We'll get into the lawsuit he had against his daughter. We'll get into the IRS kicking him out of the United States, him leaving the country and going to Ireland. We'll get into the Last Man Standing disc. We'll get into his recent life and how he had a stroke recently, last year, last March, actually. We'll get into the reuniting of the Million Dollar Quartet the year after Elvis died, 1978, to release their record. We're going to get into the Jerry Lee Lewis late 60s to now timetable after we hear from my beautiful sponsor, Anchor. So stick around. Welcome, everybody, to the Mets News Podcast, where we talk all things Mets, anything I feel like talking about. Today's episode, part 2 of the Jerry Lee Lewis life story, one of my favorite singers of all time. Now, part 1, we covered the Jerry Lee Lewis early life. If you want to listen to it, go into the archives. It's season 1, episode 11, if you want to catch up on Jerry Lewis' early life. Part 2 is now going to focus on Jerry Lewis, 1968 to approximately present day. So we're going to get into it. 1968. Jerry Lee Lewis's life is in ruins. He's lost a son. His marriage isn't going so out. He's an alcoholic and pillhead. And no top hit, really. No big hit since 1958. In 1964, he had the comeback show in England, which I did not get into part one, because let me tell you, folks, the 1964 comeback show where he hit, where he did all the favorites, you can look it up on YouTube. If anybody's interested in looking up the 1964 comeback show, type in Jerry Lee Lewis, whole lot of shaking going on, 1964. And it's him in London, England, with a fake guitar and everything, like fake instruments. And it's him singing, and everyone's around the piano, and he has the long hair, and his voice changed. Which, by the way, this is a funky thing. Jerry Lee Lewis's voice got deeper as his life went on. Now, there's the Jerry Lee Lewis early life from the 18 to, I'd say, 24-year-old, where he sounds all young and crisp. Then there's the Jerry Lee Lewis change in voice, which is from, I'd say, 1966 to 1971. Then there's the Jerry Lee Lewis from 1971 to 1988. And then there's the Jerry Lee Lewis from 1990 voice from 2006. And then there's the tired old Jerry Lee Lewis voice from present day, which still sounds good for an 81-year-old. But Jerry Lee Lewis did that comeback show in England from 1964, and it was awful. It was basically a sham. Rock and roll was dead. There was the Beatles and Elvis, and there was no way Jerry Lee Lewis could compete with the Beatles. Now we fast forward to 1968. Now, if anyone's interested in the 1964 album, just type in Jerry Lee Lewis, London, England. All these videos will pop up. I enjoy some of them to close out the 1964 thought. I enjoy some of them. I mean, it's okay. But, you know, you could tell they were just trying to see if rock and roll was still a thing for him, which is not, because he could not compete with the Beatles. And even Elvis. Elvis was just getting back from the military in 1964. All right, we're going to fast forward to 1968. He's recording at, this is going to kill me now. I don't know the record label's name. You can look the record label, that's not important. But he's recording there, and someone came up to him and said, "Jerry, this rock and roll crap isn't working anymore," to quote the book, Jerry Lee Lewis, My Life Story. By the way, like I said in part one, if you want to learn everything about Jerry Lee Lewis, you can. Because there's stuff in this episode I will not cover. Go buy the book. Don't watch the movie. The movie is a fairy tale version of everything. It's not real. The movie's awful. Go buy the book. The book is great. It's co-written by a very good author. I can't think of his name. But Go Buy the Book is a very nice book. So they're saying, basically, Jerry, this crap isn't working anymore. You got to move on to something else. And he said, fine, I'll do that. I really will. I have no problem. I'll do it. And they said, I'm not doing country. And he says, but you got to do it. That's going to bring you back to number one. And he said, I'm not going to do it. So finally, he did it. And his first big hit, Another Place, Another Time, huge hit for Jerry Lee Lewis. Huge, huge hit. Excuse me as I take a sip of water. Huge hit for Jerry Lee Lewis. This brought him back into the mainstream, because that song, and the one thing about Jerry Lee Lewis, and I'm just going to get this out of the way now. The reason why Jerry Lee Lewis connects with so many people, even today, quite frankly, is because you could tell he's lived through his songs. When he's singing high songs about having a ton of girls, like when Maybe Milwaukee Famous, of how ladies begged me not to go so many times before, she says love and happiness can't live behind those singing doors. You could see that Jerry Lee Lewis actually went through that, because let's just be honest, he's had a lot of extramarital affairs. He's been married 8 times. So he does it. And that was a hit. That really was a hit. He was accepted by the country role. He dyed his hair black, and he's taking pictures with the petunias, the flowers and everything. And there's that classic picture. Also on the record, and by the way, I have all the Jerry Lee Lewis records. Here's a fun fact. I enjoy old music. Yes, I like current music. I like rock and roll. I like rap. I like a little rap. I'm not big of a rap guy, but I like old music. So I have a record player upstairs. So on part one, There is another place, another time. And part two is what made me Milwaukee famous, and play me a song I can cry to. That's three hits right there on one record that Jerry Lee Lewis came out with. And quite frankly, it's one of the great, great country records of all time. And Jerry Lee Lewis is an introvert. Jerry Lee Lewis can make any song his own. Meaning, here's an example. We're going to use What I Say for an example, even though that's mid-60s, I think, What I Say came out. We're going to use What I Say for as a prime example. What I Say is like, everyone's heard, I think, the Ray Charles version. Jerry Lee Lewis starts out with a very good, weird intro. It's only a 2 minute. What I Say, Ray Charles, is like a 8 minute song. Actually, 6.5. My bad. Jerry Lee Lewis's version is 2 minutes and 51 seconds. It's quick. It has the bass. And it's just a great song. But it sounds, you couldn't. It is totally different from the Jerry Lewis. The Jerry Lewis version, if I can get my thought out correctly, and the Ray Charles version are completely different songs. And it's great. But that's the thing people love about Jerry Lewis. That's one of his biggest compliments ever, is the fact that he was able to make a song his own. And that's really it. But he didn't really catch a big break until late 1969, and his old buddy, Sam Phillips, who used to own Sun Records, said, "All right, Jerry, here's what I need you to do. I need you to come to the Holiday Inn," because, by the way, Sam Phillips is one of the founders of the Holiday Inn. I don't think many people know that. He was one of the big investors in the Holiday Inn. Fun fact there. But he said, "All right, here's what I need you to do. I need you to go out there, and I need you just to play your hits, and you're going to get a big reaction and everything. And we're going to put you on the station 1-800-COUNTRY. There's actually, if you want to look up on YouTube those things, look up Jerry Lee Lewis Money 1969, and it's one of the Jerry Lee Lewis classic performances, other than the Hammerstein Ballroom in Germany from 1964, which, you know what, I can't believe, I have to cover this, I really do. We're going to get into it after Jerry Lee Lewis Money, the 1969 version. We are going to quickly skip back to 1964 while I'm thinking about it. And we're going to get into the one of Jerry Lewis's one of the best rock and roll albums of all time. But we're going to get into that after I finish the late, early 1969. So he's out there and he's singing songs like She Even Woke Me Up to Say Goodbye. That's also a song you could look up from the same performance. He's in a nice $5,000 jacket, classic jacket. And it's one of his greatest performances. And that really launched his comeback and launched his career back into sky high rockets. So let's get to 1964 real quick. Let's go back a few years. In April of 1964, he went to Germany. And he did a live rock album. I'm going to get the name for it right now. Jerry Lee Lewis Live in Hamburg. And let's be honest here. It is one of the greatest rock and roll records of all time. It really is. And that is by Rock and Roll Historics. If you have SiriusXM, which I greatly recommend you get SiriusXM, because you can listen to Fox News, CNN, Howard Stern, 50s on 5, Outlaw Country, 60s on 6, you know, etc. Even MLB. If you're an MLB fan, you can get the MLB for $100 a month, all the stations, and MLB Radio, and NFL Network. I recommend it. You gotta get it. I would get SiriusXM, the future of radio. But Rock and Roll Historian says that's one of the greatest records of all time. This is a prime example why Jerry Lee Lewis has a God-given talent, to quote Jerry Lee Lewis. He plays Good Guy and Miss Molly, and he's going so fast, the drummer can't keep up with him and the guitarist. You know, Jerry Lee Lewis went through the most drummers ever in history because he played so fast, he goaded people into it. He really did. He goaded people. "I'm going to go faster than you." And everyone says, "Well, you're 50. You're like 36, and you're a drug addict old man. You can't go faster than me." And he just, and it's like his fingers are like light wheels. Even today, I went to go see him in 2017. If you listen to the first episode, Jerry Lewis Part 1, you'll already know that. I went to go see him in 2017, and let me tell you, it was great. His fingers still go. He might not be able to walk, but his fingers still go once he sits down at that piano. Highly recommend, if you want to get into Jerry Lewis, looking up that record, Jerry Lewis in Hamburg, and looking up the Jerry Lewis What I Say earlier, and, you know, the Holiday Inn versions. Look it up. Great album. I listen to them all. I listen to them quite frequently. So we're going to get into 1971, where we will get into the first scandal of many that Jerry Lewis had in his life. He lost his wife, Myra Gail Lewis. She didn't die, they just divorced after 11 years of marriage. And it's because Jerry Lewis really became a pillhead. To be honest, he really became a pillhead and was cheating, and they lost a son and everything. And it was just, you know, I don't blame her for leaving Jerry Lewis. And, you know, listen, I'm surprised that they even lasted as long as they did. I really am. Because, you know, it's really unfortunate. But I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked. It was a doomed marriage from the start. They had to go through a lot together. And it really is what it is. He got remarried shortly thereafter. Let me think here. I'm going to look it up quickly. I have to look this up. He got married in 1971, later to Jared Elizabeth. I cannot pronounce that last name. Jaren Elizabeth, that's what we're going to call her. And they had about a 12-year marriage. And I know people are going to be like, well, you're skipping over the one that he killed. She died in 1982, and there are rumors that Jerry Lee Lewis was the one that, you know, put the hit on her and killed her. And that and here's what I'll say about this. If this is true, he should go to jail. And there are rumors that the Memphis, Tennessee people were, you know, it's a star. They don't want to bring a star to justice. And like I've said before, if you have money or power, you're going to get away with it. But they did a whole... I would recommend to get more info on this to watch CBS 2020. And you'll get a whole, Jerry Lewis gets interviewed, it's proven that he lies and that the investigations weren't held out. The family today is actually suing Jerry Lewis still and trying to get him to go to justice. But I think because of statute of limitations, he will never go to jail for that. He was actually acquitted. He was never pressed with anything. He got no charges pressed against him. I have to stress that. He had no charges pressed against him. And, you know, if something like that happened. Now, I got to stress this. Jerry Lewis has always claimed he never hit a woman. There are people that say, and there are people that back him on that. There are also people that said he witnessed him hitting Elizabeth. And again, I wasn't there. I don't really want to comment on it. But I will say, there's even been, Jerry Lewis said, well, if I can't have you, nobody could have you. He is even admitted to that. So there is evidence out there saying he did commit that murder, but there also is evidence out there saying he didn't commit the murder. So if you want to get info on that, look up Jerry Lewis 2020 1983. It'll have a whole episode on it, and that's really it. She died. He also had a wife that died of drug overdose, but that was real. That wasn't because of him. That was not because of him. He married in 1984 Karen Lewis. They got divorced in 2005. And this is the wife he went to Ireland with. They had a son, Jerry Lee Lewis III, who is still alive today. One of actually his only sons alive today. We'll get into that in the 80s. So in the 70s, he came out with an album. It wasn't very successful. But, you know, the next album where Jerry Lewis really hit it, his last big hit, he had many country hits. They were usually just all on the same album. The next Jerry Lewis big hit was Middle Age Crazy. I think that came out in 1977. It's his biggest hit in the country era, 1977. He doesn't play the piano at all, which is really remarkable. He doesn't play the piano at all. You know, this song is beautiful. It really is. It's about a man who doesn't want to accept the fact he's getting old. And this song fit Jerry Lee Lewis perfectly. And look it up. I recommend it. It's really, it's one of the greatest country songs of all time. Actually on Outlaw Country, they had a top 100 list, and Jerry Lee Lewis's Middle Age Crazy came in at number 3. So, just so people don't think I'm kissing his ass, this really is one of the great country songs of all time, and this is really one of his best songs. It's better than his rock and roll album. So I recommend you going out there, suiting out that album, and just take the 4 minutes and 2 seconds and listen to it. If anything, if you only listen to one song on this list, other than Great Balls of Fire and a whole lot of shaking going on, other than those songs, I would personally recommend you suiting that song out, because it's just really, it's a beautiful song, and Jerry Lee Lewis, you could tell, puts his heart into it. In 1979, his stomach exploded. So before we get into the Johnny Cash reuniting and him going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Jerry Lee Lewis almost died in 1979, not 1978. Because of all the drugs and all the partying this guy went to, he said he had a stomach ache. He took aspirin with a shot of whiskey, as he said. 20 minutes later, an ambulance arrived to his house and his stomach exploded. He was only given 2% chance to live, but like I said in the last podcast, Jerry Lee Lewis has 9 lives, and he miraculously survived. Didn't perform until 1981 and got into a argument with his record company because his record company terminated him for not making dates. The case was settled out of court. And, you know, thank God he survived that. 1986, he got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And he was the first one inducted after Elvis. Of course, Jerry Lee Lewis is one of the most, is rock and roll's first wild man. So really, you know, I mean, well-deserved. They also came out that same year with Jerry Lee Lewis, Johnny Cash, Ray Orbison, Carl Perkins. They all came out with the Million Dollar Quartet album. Jerry Lee Lewis does a song, 16 Candles. He does This Train Is Bound to Go With That Train. It's an okay album. It's meh. I don't really care for it. If you want to suit it out, look it up. Jerry Lee Lewis, 16 Candles. Jerry Lee Lewis, by the way, is not in the Country Hall of Fame, which really pisses me off, and we'll get into that after we get into him leaving the country, and we'll do that the present day. We'll get to that. But yeah, that really, album's meh. It really is. It's meh. It's not good. It's not bad. It's not my cup of tea. It's really a way to make money. All four guys are really just trying to make money, and that's really it. It's meh. Okay. I could take it or leave it. All right, 1988, he got evicted from his house. All his possessions were taken by the IRS, and he left the country. He went to Ireland for 10 years. Jerry Lee Lewis was in Ireland. He refused to go back to the United States. He's done. He went to Ireland and Scotland. And let me tell you, the reason why was he didn't pay his taxes for a good 15 years. He settled with the United States and came back in 2005, and really, let me tell you, he's very lucky he didn't go to jail here. Jerry Lewis actually could have went to jail a lot. I did not get into the story of the time he went to Elvis's house. He said, this is a classic story, and then we'll get back to the taxes. Elvis, in 1977, he said it was very depressed, and he said, Jerry, I just want to see you. Jerry Lewis got a new handgun, and the guy said, put it on your dashboard so you, when you get pulled, if you get pulled over, he said, I just got this. He wanted to put it in his glove department. Elvis called him and said, I want to see you. And he said, I'll take you out for a good time. Jerry Lewis is a known partier. And he pulls up to the gates, and they said, oh, we're not letting anybody in to see Elvis. He rams through the gates, and the whole SWAT team in Memphis came to get him and said, oh, well, what are you planning to do, and shoot Elvis? And Jerry Lee said, if you think I'm that stupid to shoot Elvis, then, boy, you have something else in your brain. He was never charged. Elvis died 6 months later. So that's really it about that. Funny story. Also, if you want to hear all these accounts firsthand from Jerry Lewis, look up Jerry Lewis Playboy interview, YouTube. Very good interview. I enjoyed it. But, you know. So we talked about the tax evasion. So we're going to skip all the way to 2006. He came after Johnny Cash died, Ray Orbison died, Carl Perkins died. Jerry Lewis came out with an album, Last Man Standing. And that came out with a lot of hits for Jerry Lewis. Well-deserved hits, might I add to you. And there are a lot of good songs, which makes The Irish Heart Beat is a very good song. It's about someone that's far away from home and just wants to get home. I don't like Kid Rock. Here's an example. Anything with Kid Rock was just trying to ride Jerry Lewis's coattails. Oh, I'm Jerry Lewis's cousin. No, you're not. You're just a loser who can't have a hit. You haven't had a good hit since the 80s. And you're just trying to ride somebody else's coattails. Because I hate Kid Rock. Anything that Jerry Lewis and Kid Rock did together, I hated. I dislike Kid Rock. I don't dislike him as a person. I dislike his music. Let me get that out there. I think Kid Rock is a very fine person. He does a lot for charity and stuff, so I give him that. But he is just, I hate Kid Rock. As a singer, I hate Kid Rock. Hate him. I hate Kid Rock. One of the worst singers I've ever heard. Overrated. Worst singer I've ever heard. So he came out with that album, had a lot of good guests. He did a performance at B.B. King Bar and Grill. And, you know, it was a good album. It made him a lot of money. It actually went platinum. It sold a lot of copies. It came out in 2006, and, you know, it is what it is. It really is. Good album. To me, Jerry Lewis's best album was the one he came out with in 1968. Another Place, Another Time, with, you know, like we spoke about earlier. I think that was Jerry Lewis's best album that he ever personally came out with. 2010, he came out with Mean Old Man, you know, it went platinum again, but, you know, that's a meh album. It's okay, you know. Him and Mick Jagger did a song. My personal favorite song on the list is I Won't Forget to Put Dead Roses on Your Grave. It's a meh. It's okay. Not my personal favorite. You know, it's an okay album. It really is. You can tell Jerry Lewis's voice is tired at that point. You know, he's getting older. I thought it was an okay album. Wasn't my favorite album. He got married to his current wife and hopefully Jerry Lewis's last wife. His caretaker, as he says. And, you know, when I saw Jerry Lewis in concert to push this up to present day, because to close out on Mean Old Man, it's a meh album. Made him a lot of money. I bought it, of course. I was very young at the time. I think I was 2010. That was 10 years ago. I was 8. So I was excited because here's a fun story about my childhood, if you really want to know. One of my first memories in the car, I had to be like 2 years old, was hearing the piano for the original, Whole Lot of Shaking Going On. You should listen to it. The original that first came out. And I just clapped. And, you know, Jerry Lewis is my dad's favorite artist. He's one of my favorite, too. He's in my top 5, of course. And that's my first memory. So to me and my dad going to Best Buy and buying that album really, you know, it made my dad happy. Just like going to see Jerry Lee Lewis with my grandfather. By the way, I'm recording this on Saturday the 15th. I probably said this in yesterday's podcast. This won't be released till Monday, of course, at 6:30. Happy birthday to my brother, my great-grandfather, and my grandfather who passed away. I went to go see Jerry Lewis in 2017 at the B.B. King Bar and Grill with them. It was a very... My dad was so happy that night, if I can remember. My grandfather enjoyed it. We have a video of that. We were in the front row. Jerry Lewis kicked the stool over at the end of the night. You know, he was, his voice got tired, but he played from 8:30 till 10:30, 11:30 at night. So really, he still performed up until 2019 in March, where he had a stroke. And that's pretty much it. I mean, I don't think I'm missing anything out. Oh, yeah. I almost forgot. In 2016, he filed a lawsuit against his daughter because the daughter didn't take good care of him and everything. And, you know, there are rumors that he got pneumonia and almost died because his daughter really was, like, very abusive towards him in 2012 to 2014. And then the caretaker slash wife who went on, we went to go see him in 2017. She shook those pills and was chewing her gum, chomping her gum. And, you know, big lawsuit there. It was, of course, thrown out. But, yeah, the lawsuit was thrown out. I don't know what's true or not. Of course, that's him and Myra's other daughter. Jerry Lewis had many kids. Jerry Lewis's son, Jerry Lewis II, died in a motorcycle accident in 1971. And this is a good quote. To close out the Jerry Lewis podcast, I have three more things to say. But the last thing to close out his life before I get into why Jerry Lewis should be in the Country Hall of Fame is that he said once, if you've walked around past as many caskets as I have and you've seen as many loved ones as I have go through, you know, into the ground, you would understand why I drink and do as much drugs as I do to fill the void and the pain of going through what I went through. And that, in my opinion, sums up Jerry Lee Lewis to a T. That really does. He's a great artist. The song I Am What I Am pretty much sums up his life. And, you know, that's pretty much it. Now, this is an hypocrisy. The reason why Jerry Lee Lewis isn't in the Country Hall of Fame to wrap this up is because he played in the Grand Ole Opry and they said no cursing, no whole lot of shaking going on, just do your country. And he was doing a great job, but then he said, let me remind you, I am Jerry Lee Lewis, I am the killer, I am the goddamn best. He said the F word and he kicked the stool and he did the profanity song, a whole lot of shaking going on, the first real dirty song in America, in America's history. And yeah, that's pretty much it. That's why he's not. They'll put him in the Country Hall of Fame the day after he dies. I guarantee it. He's up for the ballot this year, and I would personally just write and recommend him getting in. Let him enjoy it, really. Give him one last thank you. You know, they use all his country songs on all the country stations. They outlaw country's basically Jerry Lewis tribute station, really. So, I mean, you know, it's a shame that he's not in the Country Hall of Fame. And that's pretty much it. We covered that in 29 seconds and 29 minutes and 15 seconds. So, all right. Getting into the rest of the week. This is going to be, of course, released on Monday, 17th, President's Day, of course. Then we're going to get the XFL. Vincent Kennedy McMahon, the XFL. My review of that, that's going to be released on Wednesday. I'm going to Florida, of course, Friday till Monday. The next podcast after next Wednesday will probably be released Thursday. Talking about my trip, see if I can get any players also. That's pretty much it. So this was very fun for me to do. I am a Jerry Lewis fanboy, if you couldn't tell. I actually have an autograph of his upstairs, and that's pretty much it. Thank you guys for listening. XFL will be released Wednesday. It doesn't have a time. We'll be back on baseball the following Wednesday or Thursday, and that's pretty much it. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed this. I can't wait to do more of this. Maybe I'll do Elvis. Maybe I'll do Michael Jackson. Maybe I'll do Tupac. Probably not Tupac. Probably not Michael. Maybe Michael Jackson. Maybe some rappers. You leave your suggestions. We will have the Mets spring training roster review and NL East review sometime in March. Of course, we're going to do the Reds too. We're going to do the Yankees, we're going to do the Reds, we're going to do another team, so that's pretty much it. Thank you guys so much. All right, guys, you just heard the Jerry Lewis part stories, the life. We talked about the Mets, we talked about the Giants. Now it's on to get to some sad news. I wanted to record this earlier. I've been very busy. I've been doing a lot of tribute things on other channels. Check it out if you like music. I've been doing tributes for him, doing podcasts, giving my point of view. But yes,
Unfortunately, a couple Fridays ago, about 2 weeks ago, Jerry Lee Lewis passed away at the age of 87, the last living rocker of his time, the last living rocker of the originals, which I say this cannot be overlooked. He just got into the Country Hall of Fame. I think it could have been a week before he died. Don't count me on that. It's a disgrace he wasn't in earlier. I stand by that much. But Jerry Lee Lewis will be remembered for two things. He'll be remembered as someone that almost took the crown away from Elvis. Elvis actually gave it to him, and something that was in his eulogy that his people put out, which I loved and I was going to put in, was he made Elvis Presley cry. The only man we know of that made Elvis Presley cry. Elvis said, "Take my crown." And he'll be remembered as a scandal taking away what could have been someone that was challenging Elvis. And I've been saying this a while on other episodes, and now because it's the news has been out there for a couple of weeks, it's been like, you know, a little more well-known that, you know, he's passed and everybody's moved on. But I thought about this because I've been talking about it more than I would like. Jerry Lee Lewis is number two all-time, in my opinion, but he really was the all-around better performer than Elvis Presley. If you go talk to people that went to both their live shows, which there aren't a lot of people those left, like prime live shows, you talk about energy, they say Jerry Lee Lewis had it. I say Elvis. Obviously, there wouldn't be music without Elvis, but these rappers and everything, I always say this, and I stand by it. The rappers that sing the songs they do today, Jerry Lee Lewis was the originator of that. Whole lot of shaking going on. Look up the lyrics. I'm not going to say them. Just look up the lyrics. You'll know what I'm talking about. But anyway, he's not my favorite artist of all time, but he's an artist I've listened to the most in my life because my dad loves Jerry Lee Lewis. So he's someone I've listened to my whole life, whether I wanted to or not. So it's just weird because his legacy is so up and down. You could talk about the good things that he did, the bad things that he did. All the dull parts of his life was taken out of it. I would encourage everyone to go read his book. But ultimately, I'm going to list my top five Jerry Lee Lewis songs to check out, and that's it, because you just listened to probably over an hour of me talking, which thank you for doing that, especially the early podcast, me talking. All right, number one, if you want to check out Jerry Lee Lewis, this is my favorite song. It's "You Win Again," the Hank Williams song, and Jerry Lee Lewis always used to say this. Hank Williams sang it. Hank Williams wrote it. Jerry Lee Lewis got a gold record for it. It's really my favorite Jerry Lee Lewis song. When he did it on, my favorite's the original that he did on Dewey Phillips. Check it out. Number two, of course, there's a whole lot of shaking going on in Great Balls of Fire. I'm putting those two together. I got to see Great Balls of Fire, and here's the story. I went to see Jerry Lee Lewis in 2017, and you didn't know what you were going to get. He comes out on stage, and he says, "My name is Jerry Lee Lewis. I'm from Faraday, Louisiana." He looks at the room, and he says, "I've humped more people than everybody in this room." And he says, "You know what I mean by humping." And then he just starts playing. And then as the show goes on, my dad said to me, you know, when Jerry Lee came out on stage in the 70s and 80s, when I would sit close, he would give the death stare. He would just look at the crowd and he'd be like, "You know, this guy actually lived what he's lived." So the concert goes on and Great Balls of Fire starts. And you know, everyone knows, if you've ever heard the song of Great Balls of Fire, the reason why it's so good, other than someone, is the piano part. And Jerry didn't do it later in life because he had crippling arthritis and so many health problems. He had a stroke in 2019. But he does it, and he just looks at me, and we look eye contact because I'm in the front row. And we made eye contact, and there was no words. We made eye contact, and he's like, "Yeah, I still can do it." And then he just continues to play, and he just started smiling. Just listen to those two songs. Number three for me is Me and Bobby McGee. Enough said. I think it's the best version. And I love all music. I like rap too. I think it's the best version Jerry Lee Lewis ever did. Ever of that song he ever did was the recording. And I also think it was the best version of it. I know a lot of other song singers have done it. Chris Christopherson, who wrote the song, said agrees with me. So there you go. Number four, this is going to be an outlandish pick, but I always liked it, but I can't seem to say goodbye. It was the last song done under the original Sun Records. I love it. I always have loved it in a funny way. I would encourage anybody to listen to it. The song is called But I Can't Seem to Say Goodbye. Or it might just be called I Can't Seem to Say Goodbye. I just really love it. I think it's a great song. I think Jerry Lee shows how he could be a country singer. It was a long time before he ever got to that point. And I just really enjoy it. And it's my list. And I know a lot of Jerry Lee fans that listen to this are going to say, how could you put But I Can't Seem to Say Goodbye on this list? There are so many others, and that's your number four. No. Just listen to it. It would have been a hit if he wasn't in the downside of his career. And the final spot will go to What I Say. I love that song. I love the Ray Charles version. I love the Jerry Lewis version a little better. You can listen to that song live. You can listen to that song when it came out with the Jerry Lewis great hits. I just love it. Listen to it. Check it out. Enough said. All right, guys. This has been it. My final words about Jerry Lee Lewis is he's going to be remembered as number two of the original Rockers. He got into the Country Hall of Fame. Long overdue. It's a disgrace. He didn't get in 10 years ago. Maybe 20. He's going to be remembered as someone that lived life on his own terms. The controversial side is going to be remembered as funny. But he was just all around a great performer. And the music outlived all of his bad qualities. And thanks for the memory killer. And this book ends the Jerry Lewis part of my podcasting history. So this has been an edition of the Mets News Podcast. Stay safe and thanks for the great music killer.